You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply,
it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a great show planned for you today. We'll be talking with Brad Schoenfeld, and he is got a lot of good opinions about building muscle, getting lean, getting strong, and we'll be delving into that in just a moment. Before we get started, a couple announcements that I have to make. First of all, I got a couple emails about something I said on the show the other day, and I want to clarify. Myers Cocktail is an infused therapy offered by naturopathic doctors where they inject you with a B-complex, vitamin C, and some trace minerals like calcium and magnesium. And I did say that the liposomally delivered Altrient C plus their Altrient ME is like taking a Myers cocktail every day at a fraction of the cost. And the reason for that is that the Altrient ME is not only a B-complex, but also contains calcium, magnesium, and a variety of other things as well that make it actually better than a Myers cocktail. So, yes, you can achieve some of the same results by taking the liposomally delivered vitamin C and the liposomally delivered ME, which is a B-complex plus lots of other things, every single day. And so, yes, that is true. It is the same thing as the Myers cocktail. And as soon as Altrient introduces their liposomal glutathione, get out of town, because these three supplements should be the cornerstone of everything you do. Second thing I want to mention is two more days before AgeForce pulls down the buy one, get one free on their transdermally delivered growth hormone patch, which is exclusively available to Superhuman Radio only. It's been removed from other websites that you may have seen it on, like Anabolic Minds. The only place you can get the buy one, get one free on the Power Patch, which has 25 milligrams of real somatropin in each patch, is at superhumanradio.com. So check that out. Okay. Brad Schoenfeld, how are you?
I'm great, Carl. Great to speak with you.
We're having you on because over a large amount of time, I have received emails from people saying you've got to have Brad Schoenfeld on the show. And that was finally capped, if you will, by an email from the brilliant and talented Adele Musa, all the way from Munster, Germany, who is a contributor to the show, said, you really got to get this guy on. He's doing a lot of really interesting stuff. And so here you are. Great to finally have you on the show.
Well, thank you. And it's nice that my work is getting out there and making an impact.
It does feel good, doesn't it? Because, you know, you work and you work and you work and you wonder, is anybody, you know, listening? Am I a tree falling in the forest? So obviously you are not. We call today's show The Role of Metabolic Stress in Muscle Growth, but we're going to be talking about a variety of other things. But this is actually one of your most recent blog posts. And those of you who want to visit Brad's blog website, it's workout911.com. Workout, the number nine, the number one, the number one.com. Isn't it just assumed that metabolic stress is occurring when you train?
No, it actually isn't. Well, there is going to be some metabolic stress no matter what, but really it comes down to the magnitude. So let's look at it in terms of energy systems. We know that there are really three primary energy systems, four, depending upon how you look at it, but we have the ATP-PC system, which is your adenosine triphosphate, creatine phosphate system, and that's a very short-term energy system that supplies energy from anywhere between 10 to about 15 seconds. There really is not much metabolic stress in what we're going to be talking about delivered in this system because there is not really any breakdown of carbohydrate. It evolves pretty much exclusively just through ATP, the stored ATP, plus whatever creatine can donate the phosphate. Basically, when ATP is utilized, a phosphate is cleaved off, and creatine donates back a phosphate. So anyway, you will get some metabolic stress from phosphate ion building up. But pretty much the basic metabolic stress that we're referring to here is done through what's called the glycolytic system, glycolysis, which is the breakdown of carbohydrate for fuel, and specifically the anaerobic breakdown of carbohydrate. And during this process, you're going to get a buildup of lactate, and you're also going to get an acidic component from the acids that are building up. And really, it is the lactate and the acidic buildup that is theorized to have the greatest effect. So, bottom line, to put it in practical terms, your low rep sets, your 1 to 4 or 5 rep sets,
right,
generally are going to be in that ATP-CP system and not involve significant metabolic stress, where your moderate to higher rep sets, pretty much 6 reps and above, is where you really start getting into metabolic stress. And your classic hypertrophy range of 6 to 15 can really maximize that.
Now there's been evidence from studies that we've covered on the show over the years that the introduction of lactate in muscle actually is what stimulates a lot of the growth factors. And so I guess the first question is, should we be working towards the burn and maintaining that burn longer? Because, you know, lately I've started doing pyramid sets again. I like to call it the scales. If I was playing music, going up and going down. And when on my way down, I take advantage of my last set to failure, which I do twice with my maximum weight, and I take little rest, just the time it takes to strip plates and get back. And quite often I cannot do the requisite number of reps for that weight that I did on the way up because of muscular fatigue, which is precipitated by an increased lactate production, which is evidenced by the burning in my muscles. And I tend to keep moving quickly in order to keep that burning feeling with every set. Have I stumbled onto something?
Well, okay, so there's a couple things here. Number one, really the burn is not the function of the lactate per se. It's a function of the hydrogen ions that are building up, which creates the acidic environment. The burn is a reduction in the pH in the muscle, and they do happen in tandem with one another. But really, it's more semantical in terms of of which one is causing which. But really, it is the burn is not actually caused by the lactate. So that's number one. So let me just actually take a quick step back, if I could, and do say that it is still equivocal. And actually, my dissertation research, which I'm currently just getting ready to do, involves looking at whether low rep training in a volume equated basis, so when I say low rep meaning your very heavy weights, 1 to 5, kind of your strength power range, is just as good or if hypertrophy type training might be better because of this metabolic buildup. We don't yet know because really the studies haven't been done specifically in trained individuals. So I will say that. However, there is clear evidence that metabolic stress, I mean really compelling evidence, that metabolic stress does produce a hypertrophic effect. Whether that makes up for the fact that, because there are other factors that are involved, you're getting more tension on the muscle, mechanical tension, in your very low rep sets. We're not yet sure if the function of metabolic stress is additive or whether basically it's just on the same par, that it just kind of makes up for other deficiencies. And these are things that are still teasing its way out. My theory here, if you want to get speculative,
sure,
based upon where I'm going with my research and just based upon what I've seen through many years of being a trainer, is that there is a threshold where if you achieve a certain level of tension in a muscle, and that might be at around 60% of your one rep max. We're not again sure as to where that might be. But once you achieve this threshold of tension, then metabolic stress has an additive effect. Anyway, so that is my theory. So getting back to where you're going, the burn would be indicative of metabolic stress
Bingo.
Happening, and thus, yes, there is something to be said then for training to the burn, if in fact that is, if the theory holds true.
Okay, so now let's stay with that for a second, because we've got, this is going to be a great discussion for those of you who are just tuning in. Because I'm like an ADD kid right now with Brad on the phone, because he's got so much good information. Okay, so where does supplementing with beta-alanine play into all this? If people love beta-alanine, you know, but beta-alanine quenches hydrogen ions. Is that actually working against us if hypertrophy is our goal?
Not necessarily, because it's not. It's basically just delaying the onset. It's not. It's not obliterating it, so it's delaying the onset. Ultimately, it can allow you to use heavier weights within a given moderate rep range and still build up. So, no, I wouldn't say that. Okay, so let me actually now, I think it's important to take this step back. So there, I actually wrote a paper back in 2010 for the Journal of Strength and Conditioning Research called The Mechanisms of Muscle Hypertrophy and Their Application to Resistance Training. And in this article, I proposed that there are three basic factors that go into mechanisms that bring about hypertrophy. One is mechanical tension, and that basically is the forces that are acting on the muscle. And there, we know that if you just don't do anything, you're not going to get hypertrophy. If there are no forces acting on the muscle, not only won't you get hypertrophy, you'll get atrophy. So there has to be a certain amount of tension. And there, just intuitively, there has to be a minimum amount. There has to be a minimum threshold. What that minimum threshold is, we're not exactly sure yet. So assuming that you get this minimum threshold met, there are two other basic factors. One is metabolic stress, and the other is damage to the muscle
okay.
damage.
Okay.
So some type of muscle damage we know can promote remodeling. Again, I actually wrote a paper on this several years ago, or actually about a year ago.
I think
now.
I'm looking at it right now. Does exercise-induced muscle damage play a role in skeletal muscle hypertrophy?
Correct. Yeah. And that, again, my hypothesis there is that you will get some additive effect by having a certain amount of damage, but it might be more permissive, where if you get having a certain amount of damage actually is just permissive in terms of perpetuating hypertrophy. And these are things, one thing I will say, Carl, is that research is still in its infancy on all this stuff, and I am hopefully going to, and already am, contributing to this base of knowledge that we have, but we still just have so much more to go. So a lot of the things that I'm talking about now are somewhat hypothetical and need to be studied further, and a lot of it is based upon practical experience, and research generally comes from the field. We look at observational aspects that we go through while we're training people and or training ourselves, and try to then take that into research. So, getting back, and I know I'm pretty much ADD here.
No, this is good.
Jumping
is good.
Around, but I think it's important to have this context and talking about it. So beta-alanine, if you're going to delay the buildup slightly, you will get more tension in the
right.
muscle. So you're going to keep that time under tension increase for a longer period of time while still at least potentially achieving a...
It's almost like you're increasing the equity in the end result. I like that.
Yep.
I like that a lot. We have to take a break, but before we go into the break, I want to mention something. There are lots of people out there who presume to be authorities in this type of an area, and a lot of times they're just regurgitating other people's work. As you can hear from Brad's discussion, he is authoring a lot of these papers firsthand. So those of you who are not familiar with Brad Schoenfeld, I want to tell you that, first of all, he has to his credit to being the 2011 NSCA Personal Trainer of the Year. He's a lecturer in exercise science, but more importantly, he is the director of the Human Performance Lab at the Lehman College in the Bronx, which is part of the City University of New York. The reason I say this is because we have so many people out there who presume to be experts today, who are just regurgitating. But then there's people like Brad Schoenfeld, who's actually trying to cut a path. And I have a funny feeling you're going to hear more about him on Superhuman Radio as time goes on. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizol, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizol works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Wherever you call your battlefield, after each training engagement, you must recover. Introducing the most complete, all-natural, and organic recovery formula and Nutrition's Basic Training, formulated by a military veteran. Basic Training provides the ammunition your body needs to recover and continue the fight. No fake sugar or flavors. No GMOs. Less than 1 milligram of sugar and soy per serving, with complete nutrition no other company provides. Arm yourself with the healthiest recovery formula on the market, the body's ammunition and Nutrition. Join the nutritional revolution by going to muscleandnutrition.com. That's muscle, AMNUTRITION.com.
Recover!
And Nutrition.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Everyone wants growth hormone because growth hormone works. Now AgeForce is offering a buy one, get one free on their most popular transdermal patch. The Power Patch contains 25 milligrams of real somatropin per patch. It delivers real, competent human growth hormone right to your bloodstream without the discomfort of injections. There's never been a better time to see what the Power Patch can do for you. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AgeForce banner ad today. This offer ends soon. Get your growth hormone the AgeForce way. Power Patch. Calling all men. The Men's Stack is here from Muscle Gauge Nutrition. The Men's Stack will give you the energy you need to train harder and the materials you need to build new muscle. The Men's Stack includes American Protein Isolate, Stimulant-Free Pre-Workout Alpha Rage, Muscle Pump Activator, L-Arginine, AKG, and Multivitamin Plus Minerals specifically formulated for men. Now, Superhuman Radio listeners can get this Men's Stack for just $99 and free shipping while supplies last. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad today.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Brad Schoenfeld. His website is workout911.com, and he's got a fantastic book available called The Max Muscle Plan, and you can learn more about it there at the website. Okay, so now the discussion changes just ever so slightly to Do hormones play as big of a role in hypertrophy as we think they do? So many of us are using androgens, growth factors, even insulin. Can we talk about these three categories and what role, if any, they play in muscle growth?
Well, I think the first thing is we need to differentiate between chronic hormones, the chronic effect of hormones, versus the acute effect of hormones. And what we mean there is that chronic is what's going on all the time in your body. Acute would be specific to following resistance training. I mean, there is no question that chronic hormonal aspects have a huge effect on muscle growth. I mean, people who take anabolic steroids, they grow.
Right.
So it's, I mean, there's no doubt that when you inject or take supplemental hormones, that they can and do have effects on the body. The more burning question, no pun intended with the metabolic
stress. Yeah, right.
Does the acute effect of hormones have an impact? And this is something that I actually just have a paper that was just published ahead of print. It should be coming out shortly in the actual Journal of Strength and Conditioning Research. But that looked at this, examined this effect, and it was a review paper really that gave a objective view on the topic. And here's what I'll say: it used to be taught, I mean, certainly many years ago, that this was a driving force and that you really wanted to spike your test levels and your GH levels post-workout. And certainly we know that can happen with a more moderate, that's one of the factors, one of the things that metabolic stress does, it has a greater effect on these acute anabolic spikes, spikes in systemic hormones, and specifically IGF-1, testosterone, and growth hormone, amongst others, get spiked to a lot larger degree when protocols are higher in exhibit more metabolic stress. Your moderate rep range training is going to have a greater effect on these acute hormonal spikes. And the literature is very inconclusive on it. There are some studies showing that there is an effect, some studies showing that it isn't. One of the big limitations in the works are that, first of all, there really haven't been many studies. There have only been a handful.
Right.
And those that have all been carried out in untrained subjects. And we know that untrained subjects
respond to breathing
very differently.
They respond to breathing.
Correct.
Right.
I mean, literally cardio can increase hypertrophy in untrained subjects. So here's the rub. The one thing in conclusion and one of the real points that I made here is that we still don't know. It really better studies need to be done to figure this out. But the overall overall effects, if there are any, would be relatively minor. And they're not a significant contributor. They might have play a role in the metabolic stress. We don't know. But if they do, it might be somewhere in the 10% realm. Now, what I will say is that doesn't necessarily mean that's irrelevant, because to clinical meaningfulness, how meaningful something is dependent on the person. So to a bodybuilder, that can be very important,
right,
whereas to your everyday person, it might not. So again, we're just not sure. The research, I know there are people that have opinions, very strong opinions, one way or another, and based on the literature, and I reviewed every study there was on the topic, it's impossible to have an opinion. When you can have a surmise something, but it's impossible to say we know this for sure one way or the other.
Well, especially as it relates, to the particular growth factor IGF-1. This one is confusing to me, and this is a discussion that I've had numerous times with Dr. Scott Connolly. And you know, IGF-1 is produced in, and correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, in sarcomeres from the elongating effect during resistance training. Actually, in the muscle itself, it's produced, and that differs than the circulating IGF-1 found in serum, in blood. And having high IGF-1 levels in blood may not have a direct effect on what happens in muscle. And this is confusing to me. And this plays into what we were talking about before, metabolic stress. IGF-1 is produced in muscle when the, you know, for lack of better terms, when the burn occurs. It seems that this is one of the things that it elicits. And I don't know if it's because of substrate utilization changes or what. But do you have any opinions on this IGF-1 in muscle versus circulating IGF-1? Do they both play a role? Is it minimal? Or are they very different?
That's such a great question, Carl. And I get ready for a dissertation on
Okay, please.
This is one of the more interesting aspects of muscle physiology and muscle growth. Yeah, so really there are three isoforms, you can call them, and isoforms are just basically different forms of the same substance. And really there are two that we concern ourselves with in the human body. There's IGF-1EA, which is the systemic form, and IGF-1EC, which is the muscle-specific form. So the liver is a primary organ that secretes IGF-1EA, which is the systemic form. So you will get, and growth hormone is a hormone that helps to promote IGF to what's called
conversion in the liver,
to produce it. But so in the muscle specifically produces what are called myokines, and IGF-1, the EC version, is specifically one of those. That has been termed mechanogrowth factor.
Uh-huh.
So the muscle-specific isoform is called mechanogrowth factor. And they have, as you said, and rightly so, differential effects on muscle. And it is perceived that the EA version, the systemic version, which is a hormone, if it's produced in the muscle, it is not really a hormone. Well, okay, so the MGF is not a hormone if it's used within the muscle. Interestingly, and hopefully I don't blow everyone's mind when I say this, The muscle itself also produces the systemic version. So muscle actually secretes some of the EA version into the bloodstream, and then it takes it back up. So apparently during exercise, the muscle becomes a big producer, both internally that it's used within, and then also secretes it. So anyway, it gets a little confusing, and it makes it a little hard to differentiate which is which in this perspective. But it certainly is postulated that the muscle-specific form, the mechanogrowth factor, has a much greater effect, and really that is where most of the research is in terms of what drives at least some degree of protein synthesis, or at least some degree of hypertrophy, whether it's increasing protein synthesis and or reducing protein breakdown. And one of the things we haven't discussed here, which also becomes important to the discussion,
please,
is something called satellite cells.
Yes.
And satellite cells, to take a little step back here, muscles have the protein, muscle proteins are produced in the DNA, in the nucleus, which is converted through DNA. And muscles are multinucleated, meaning they have multiple nuclei and can produce proteins. And you can think about this as like a factory. You have a factory and you have 10 machines that are producing muscle proteins. You have a certain capacity in each one of those machines, and that will limit how many proteins you can produce. When your muscles start growing, you're going to need to support the muscle growth. You're going to need more machinery, if you will, more of these nuclei. However, how do you get those? Well, this is where satellite cells come in. And satellite cells basically are muscle stem cells. They remain quiescent. They don't do anything until needed, till called upon. And once you start exercising, and different types of exercise regulate this, and MGF is one of those things that are thought to regulate it, that actually wakes up these satellite cells, it activates them, and allows them to donate nuclei to the muscle cell and thus increase the protein-producing capacity. And IGF-1, the MGF, is thought to certainly do that. But interestingly, while the IGF-1 EA, the systemic form, is not thought to directly contribute as much to protein synthesis, it does have roles in terms of these satellite cells, and thus it potentially does have effects long-term on your ability to continue growing. So it's a very complex process, and I'm simplifying this because it gets...
Well, that kind of answers a question. My next question was, does the IGF-1 EA play a role in either a precursor to EC or have some sort of symbiotic relationship with EC where it makes it as important or at least partly important in muscle growth? And you just answered that. So that eliminates the need for that as well. Now, since we're talking about IGF-1 and we're talking about insulin-like growth factor, can we talk just briefly about insulin? It's all the rage within the muscular development community. And there seems to be some who say its role is unequivocal and some who say that it's questionable. Do you have any opinions on insulin's role in producing muscle growth?
Well, okay, so first of all, are we talking about what endogenous, what your body is producing, or are you talking about people who actually take...
Well, let's start with endogenous, because obviously its endogenous ability must give some sort of fractional idea that more would be better.
Yeah, muscle is, in the general context, an anabolic hormone, but most of insulin's effects are not really by increasing protein synthesis, which is your body's ability to make proteins, but rather in attenuating, reducing protein breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really more of an anti-catabolic hormone than an anabolic hormone, at least from an endogenous standpoint. Now, I have not seen studies bodybuilders take insulin, or some of them do, anabolically, and if you saturate your body with insulin, could that potentially have more anabolic protein synthetic effects? Maybe. No study would, in their right mind would ever sanction something like that to jack up through giving people insulin that don't need it,
right?
Insulin shots. So I don't know. I couldn't answer that. But if you're talking about like taking a carb drink post workout,
yes,
to jack up insulin, it really has, its main effects are anti-catabolic rather than anabolic.
Okay. All right. Now, Gosh, we're going a little long here. Let's do this. We have to take a commercial break. When we come back, I want to kind of switch gears just slightly. We're still going to stay within the metabolic stress realm, but we're going to talk about facilitating metabolic stress through vascular occlusion, vascular restriction, okay? We're talking with Brad Schoenfeld. We're talking about how metabolic stress affects muscle growth. And you know what? A lot of times the women tune out when we talk about muscle growth and strength, but you're the last ones who should tune out, because I've said this before, but for the sake of the new listeners, I'll say it again. Men die first, and women end up in institutions because they lose the ability to be ambulatory. And part of being ambulatory, getting out of your own chair and not falling, is maintaining strength, and that has a close relationship with maintaining muscle. So it's even more important for women to get the message that muscle and strength is not exclusively a man thing. It's a woman thing, too. And if you can learn how to build muscle and strength faster, isn't that great? So don't tune out of these interviews. We'll be right back with more Brad Schoenfeld on Superhuman Radio.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Whey Natural USA is the best whey protein in the world. Not only is it from Amish grass-fed cows inside the United States, but it's the only grass-fed whey in the world that is not heat pasteurized. Don't be fooled by other grass-fed whey products that are low heat pasteurized. Only the patented Chill-Rite process leaves all the natural fractions of whey intact to boost your immune system while building more muscle. And Whey Natural USA is also the lowest price for non-heat pasteurized grass-fed whey protein in the world. Don't waste your time on products that only deliver 15 grams of protein per scoop. Choose the best with 25 grams of protein per scoop. Whey Natural USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Whey Natural USA banner ad today to see why anything less is wasting your money.
My friends are always asking me what I do to keep my face so youthful and fresh looking. I use RGCell Super Stem Cell Support. RGCell is the only cosmeceutical with penetrating anti-aging messenger molecules that activate old and dormant stem cells to restore your skin to a healthier, younger appearance. This helps to repair DNA, stimulate new cell growth, and aggressively eliminate wrinkles. You can learn more by visiting superhumanradio.com and clicking the RGCell banner ad to today.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Have you ever been let down by so-called nitric oxide muscle pump products before? Well, prepare to be shocked. Vengeance is like nothing you've ever tried before. Vengeance leverages several different scientifically proven technologies to deliver what some users say are painfully explosive pumps. If you are satisfied with nitric oxide products that make you wonder if they're working, move on. But if you want a muscle pump that you'll not only feel, but others will see, train with a vengeance. Go to XFMuscle.com today and get vengeance.
True Protein is now TrueNutrition.com. The company that gave you personalized protein blends has now expanded their offerings to include over 5,000 new products. Whether your interests are health and fitness, sports nutrition and supplements, or fitness gear and accessories, you'll find what you're looking for at TrueNutrition.com. Check out the new vegetarian and vegan product lines as well. Oh, and don't worry, you can still blend your own personal protein supplements with a full range of milk, whey, casein, beef, egg, rice, and soy proteins. Check out TrueNutrition.com today.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Brad Schoenfeld. He's the director of the Human Performance Lab over at the City University of New York in the Bronx, the Lehman campus. Okay. We started talking about, back then, it was called Kyatsu, back in 2005. I had a Japanese researcher on the show, and we started to talk about vascular occlusion and vascular restriction. These are vastly different things, by the way. But they seem to have the ability to produce muscle growth. And in fact, a little backstory on myself. I'm a pretty strong guy, but interestingly enough, my upper arms just never respond to exercise. I mean, I can curl and do tricep pushdowns with a lot of them, but my biceps and triceps really never grew to the extent of the strength that I can produce. So just recently, when I did the seminar with Rob Regish on adding an inch to your upper arms in a single workout, I went and bought some little, you know, ponytail ties that women wear, and they're kind of stretchy. And I put them up, you know, at where the bicep and tricep tie into the shoulder. And I started using them, and I continued to use them. It's the first time my biceps really ever started to grow, and they continue to grow. So I do put some faith in this vascular occlusion, vascular restriction theory. So the question that I have for you, Brad, is this. Is this exclusively facial stretching, you know, stretching the balloon so it's easier to blow up each and every time? Or is there some hormonal slash metabolic issues going on in the muscle as a result of the restriction?
Yeah, it's most studies seem to indicate that this is due to metabolic stress. When you cut off the circulation, if you will, or you occlude the circulation, you create what's called a hypoxic environment. You prevent oxygen from getting to the tissues, and this makes it a more anaerobic activity, obviously, without the ability to have energy production through oxygen. You're going to have anaerobic activity, which is going to produce all the things we talked about before. Now, a couple of the things here. Number one, a lot of the benefits are thought to be due to increased fast-twitch fiber recruitment. We have two types of fibers, your slow-twitch type 1 fibers, which are endurance-based, and your type 2 fibers, which are the fast-twitch, which are more strength-based. And your fast-twitch fibers are larger fibers and hypothetically have greater growth-producing ability, and it's tapping into these fibers. There is something called the size principle of recruitment that says that you're first going to recruit slow fibers, and then gradually as your muscles become more fatigued or the weights get heavier, you're going to actually tap into these fast twitch fibers. Now, in regular weight training, that's going to happen when I say traditional type of weight training with heavier weights. Generally speaking, when you use very light weights, and that's what happens with the occlusion training, you're going to use much lighter weights. But you'd figure, well, if I'm using 20% or 30% of 1RM, I'm not going to tap into these fibers, these fast-twitch, high-threshold fibers, because there's simply not enough stimulus. But interestingly, because of this hypoxic effect, it actually increases. It's been shown pretty consistently that fast-twitch fiber recruitment increases. Now, the rub here is that it doesn't look like, and the majority of studies show, at least with the 20% occlusion, you don't get the same recruitment as you do in let's say 70% without the occlusion, 70% of your 1RM. So there are obviously other factors that are coming into play based on this, because the hypertrophy seems to be pretty much similar to high if you're using 20% with occlusion as 70% without occlusion. And various factors are thought to be involved. One of them, which is of interest to me, and by the way, a couple of colleagues of mine, Jacob Wilson and Jerry Lenicky, who you might know, have been doing a lot of really good work in this area. And one of the areas, and I've speculated on this going back now over a decade, is that cell swelling might have an effect here. And this, by the way, is just an effect of the metabolic stress itself. But with the hypoxia and the the occlusion training, there is increased swelling, which is involved because blood isn't getting in, and then you get what's called reactive hyperemia, and that, by bodybuilding standards, is the pump.
Uh-huh.
Bodybuilders, and Arnold talked about that in Pumping Iron,
right.
And most people think the pump is just this cosmetic phenomenon that lasts for a given period of time, a half hour or whatever post-workout, but and this kind of goes back to your balloon analogy. It is theorized, and first of all, there's a lot of studies showing that cell swelling, so if you increase the hydration in a cell, it increases protein synthesis, decreases protein breakdown. So that's a home run from a
right.
anabolic standpoint. And the theory is that the muscle cell, any type, and by the way, it's not only in muscle, it's in any of the cells in the body. They've shown it in liver cells, in renal cells, kidney cells. But in muscle cells, the theory is in cells, when the cell is stretched, so think about blowing up a balloon, the body then starts to get signals that, hey, there's a threat to our integrity now. We're starting to stretch that muscle, and we need to do something to get stronger, and thus you're going to increase protein synthesis, decrease protein breakdown. So theoretically, that is the reasoning behind why that might be an effect. But the other mechanisms behind that also certainly can... that we've discussed already, some of the myokines, potentially contributory towards systemic factors and other factors might also play a role.
Is it ill-advised? Okay, first of all, no one should take vascular occlusion and or vascular restriction lightly. If you occlude the muscle too much, you can form blood clots in the muscle.
Correct.
This is a very dangerous thing.
Yep.
You cannot cut the blood supply off completely to the muscle.
Correct.
The muscle, the blood must still be able to irrigate the muscle to some degree. But the idea is that there is a higher degree of metabolic waste building up inside the muscle. Is it ill-advised, assuming that you're doing what I'm using very, very small amount of pressure around the main arteries coming into the arm. So I'm experiencing maybe a pump a little sooner than I would, but by no means am I completely occluding the blood flow. With that being said, is it ill-advised to train heavier with lower reps and to focus on maybe 60%, 70% of one rep maximum and shoot for the 15 to 20 rep range when using vascular restriction as a modality to produce hypertrophy?
Well, I mean, if you're at 70% of your 1RM, that's really a 12-rep max.
Yeah.
So if you're going to occlude, you're not getting 15 to 20. You can do that without occlusion. So really the occlusion is going to hasten the onset of metabolic stress, of increasing the hypoxia, the hypoxic effect, will make it so that you fatigue earlier in the set. So if you would not be able to use a weight in that. Let's say if you did 70% of 1RM, you'd only be able to get maybe 6 reps. That's the way it should be.
Okay.
And then it depends, like you said, on how much you're occluding it. So if you're lightly occluding, it might reduce it to 10 reps. This has not been very well studied. So if you're asking me, and I haven't experimented in that type of rep range with it. So it's an interesting question, and I think as more studies... The KATSU, the blood flow restricted training, is still again in a very premature phase of research, and we're just now starting to learn a lot. Like I said, some of my colleagues are doing a lot of the pioneering work in this. I just wrote a review paper, or collaborated on a review paper on this, and really it raises a lot more questions than
yeah.
it answers. We do know that it does have an effect, and one of my real interests is not in using that exclusively, but it's in using it as an adjunct to traditional training. Certainly it can be used exclusively, especially in your elderly, but my current working theory is that for optimal hypertrophic effects, it's best perhaps utilization is to combine it with traditional type training to augment the training stimulus.
You know, it's interesting. And I have a feeling that when I say this, it's going to ring a bell with you. But there's times where I'm in the gym, and I see this guy or that guy that I see all the time, and he has his iPod worn on his arm, up where you would put the strap to occlude the muscle, but always on the same arm.
Yep.
And I almost want to tap him on the shoulder and say, "You should switch arms once in a while so that they both grow equally." You know, it's like,
yeah.
Have you ever seen that?
Oh, absolutely, and it's funny. I would wonder if it actually, if one arm is fatiguing earlier than the other, if they're doing, let's say, dumbbells, where you'd able to be able to get a clear effect on that. That's actually an interesting
point. Yeah, yeah. I want to take a break, but when we come back, I want to introduce periodization into the discussion, because we're talking about a variety of different things that have an effect on metabolic stress. But is it appropriate to back out of metabolic stress for a period of time for optimal recovery, kind of let the cement dry before laying another row of bricks? We're talking with Brad Schoenfeld, and we're talking about how metabolic stress affects muscle growth. And it's really an interesting discussion, as you can see. It's going to get even better. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio.
What you gonna do with all that junk inside that trunk? I'm gonna get you drunk.
Whey Natural USA is the best whey protein in the world. Not only is it from Amish grass-fed cows inside the United States, but it's the only grass-fed whey in the world that is not heat pasteurized. Don't be fooled by other grass-fed whey products that are low heat pasteurized. Only the patented Chill-Rite process leaves all the natural fractions of whey intact to boost your immune system while building more muscle. And Whey Natural USA is also the lowest price for non-heat pasteurized grass-fed whey protein in the world. Don't waste your time on products that only deliver 15 grams of protein per scoop. Choose the best with 25 grams of protein per scoop. Whey Natural USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Whey Natural USA banner ad today to see why anything less is wasting your money.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
New from Rob Ragish, author of The Blueprint and SHR's own Blueprint Power Hour, comes The Blueprint Bulletin. Every month, Rob delivers the absolute latest and greatest information right to your inbox. Everything's on the table, including training, diet, supplementation, gray market products, and more. This is a fantastic way to stay one step ahead of your competition and use these secrets to up your game. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com or click the Blueprint Bulletin banner ad on superhumanradio.com to get your free introductory issue. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com today.
This time of year, it seems everyone's sick. You need to do everything you can to avoid it. A healthy immune system starts with a healthy lifestyle. This includes Altrian C. Altrian C delivers the vitamin C your body needs. In fact, Altrian delivers 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. Go to altriantc.com. That's altriantc.com. It even comes with a money-back guarantee. For vitamin C that actually gets absorbed, go to altriantc.com or call 888-437-6353 to order. That's 888-437-6353. Altrian C. 21st century vitamin C.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, melanotan 2, mechanical growth factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like triptorelin or follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
I did it again, baby.
Yeah!
The ladies are gonna love you.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Interestingly enough, we're on a one-minute delay from analog to digital. Now, as I was saying going into the break that we're going to come back and talk about periodization, Del Musa posted that he wants me to ask Brad Schoenfeld about the recent study on resetting protein synthesis, protein synthetic response by detraining. So in the context of periodization, we want to talk about this. Is there an endpoint for metabolic stress's benefits or potential? And if so, is detraining and or periodization an important aspect of it?
Yeah, in my humble opinion, it's really essential. And one of the biggest mistakes that I see people make in terms of trying to pack on mass is they're training balls to the wall every time they're in the gym. And really the problem with this is that the body, over time, now, like anything, the body is an adaptive organism, and it's going to try to adapt to whatever it can, whatever is thrown at it. But past a certain point, and this is goes back to Selye's work, the general adaptation syndrome, where if you go past a certain point, you're going to start to overtrain, and that's going to end up having a negative effect on the body and actually will suppress anabolic factors and will increase catabolic factors. So really with periodization, the true benefit of periodization is to prevent a plateau and prevent overtraining. And I can't give a cookie cutter piece of advice as to how often you need to, when I say I don't like the word detraining, I like unloading, I think is a better word, where you go have periods where you are reducing the intensity, frequency, et cetera, of training. And to give a plug to my book, this really was the basis of the system, the Max Muscle system that I developed, and the basis of my book. It uses what's called a step loading approach, whereby you train hard, hard, hard. Basically, it's 3 weeks of increasingly hard training. Then you unload in that fourth week. So you're going to then come down. And it'll create a wave-like loading pattern. So you'll increase intensity over the course of the, and each, one, let's say, 1 month phase would be a given mesocycle. A different cycle within the mesocycle. So if you have a block, let's say, one-month block of when you're in a hypertrophy phase, you'd go 12 reps, between 10 to 12 reps that first week, 8 to 10 reps the next week, 6 to 8 reps the next week, and then you'd have this unloading phase where you'd reduce both the frequency of training and also the intensity. So you'd train in a light fashion without really pushing yourself. And this, again, will enhance the anabolic effect and mitigate any potential for overtraining. And different people, so that's the blueprint of it. Some people might be able to go for 5 weeks before they need to unload. Some people might need to do it a little more frequently. It might have to do with times of the year when you're more stressed or have less sleep, because these are all factors that can influence overtraining, nutritional status. So there's so much going on. The body is such a complex organism, and so many factors enter into it, that I can only give you basic, I can tell you the science, I can create a template to go by, but within that, and one of the things I do in my book is discuss how this can and should be adjusted on an individual basis to achieve everyone's own best results.
I like the 3-in-1, that template that you just mentioned, and I'll tell you something, it maybe comes with age. I'll be 54 this year, and I've had my share of stupid things done in the name of training intensity, and I'm coming to the conclusion that more frequent deloading is not necessarily a bad thing. And the analogy I come up with immediately in my head is this: let's say that you run a business and you collect money. You have the option of making deposits every single day, every single week, every single month, and there's the threat of being held up. So You make deposits every single day. It's an inconvenience, but if you are held up one day, the most you lose is one day, as opposed to accumulating it and getting robbed and losing everything. And while that may be a feeble analogy, I've pushed myself so hard for so many years that I'm now of the mindset that taking a deloading period too soon is never a bad thing. Taking it too late is always a bad thing.
Absolutely, Carl. If you have to choose one, now, ideally you want to nail it so that you hit it right, but if you have to choose one, no question, is it better to err on the side of caution, because if you push it too much, you end up in an overtrained state, and then you actually need to completely take off pretty much to regain it. And your point, I also want to address your point about aging. That certainly has been shown very conclusively that recuperative abilities tend to decline with age. And this is individual. Everything is individual. But on a general, on an average basis, if you will, which is what research shows, we look at means, you will tend to, your recuperative abilities will decline with age, and you will need more frequent, potentially, unloading periods.
Well, I would be lying by way of omission if I did not say to those who have not listened to the show very long that I have been on hormone replacement therapy since 2007, which includes robust doses of testosterone and growth hormone, and I do use other peptides on my own. With that being said, my problem isn't necessarily not being as recovery responsive to normal training, but with age comes this desire to prove that I'm not aging. I train harder today than I did years ago. I mean, I remember coming on the show several months ago and being forewarned by the audience when I admitted that I was doing entire grueling whole body workouts 5 days a week. And I felt good for the first 2 weeks until I hit the wall and every joint in my body was hurting me. And I would have never done something so stupid when I was maybe 30. You know, a 40. But now all of a sudden, I'm the old lion and I'm trying to prove that my prowess is still within me. And so I tend to overcompensate for my age by training even harder. And so with that, I'm peppering in more frequent deloading, as you like to call them.
I did want to also mention, I think it's also important to look at what type of training. I know my good friend Brett Contreras, who many people might know, talks about, he actually went to visit weightlifting, Olympic lifting, where they're doing 7 days a week, and I know Brett had wrote actually a great post on this, and that's a different type of training than your hypertrophy type training, where your volume, you're having shorter rest intervals, higher number of reps per set, and you really have to look at the type of training that's being done, and your point also about the hormones, the fact that you, when you're on hormone replacement therapy, certainly helps to enhance recuperative ability. So sounds like you got that down.
I want to take one last break. Can you stay with me through the break? Because I want to talk about you something totally off topic now.
Sure.
A phenomenon that I have noticed that I have started to call occupational hypertrophy. And I want to talk about it because I know that you are both a fan of kinesiology and physiology, and I wanted to see if I'm off base on something. We're talking with Brad Schoenfeld. He's got a great book out there that you can learn about by going to workout911.com. It's called the Max Muscle Program, and you can get it by going there, workout911. The number is 911.com. Check it out. He's got a great blog there. And lots of other good things to learn about. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
My friends are always asking me what I do to keep my face so youthful and fresh looking. I use RGCell Super Stem Cell Support. RGCell is the only cosmeceutical with penetrating anti-aging messenger molecules that activate old and dormant stem cells to restore your skin to a healthier, younger appearance. This helps to repair DNA, stimulate new cell growth, and aggressively eliminate wrinkles. You can learn more by visiting superhumanradio.com and clicking the RG Cell banner ad today.
Wherever you call your battlefield, after each training engagement, you must recover. Introducing the most complete all-natural and organic recovery formula, AmNutrition's Basic Training, formulated by a military veteran. Basic Training provides the ammunition your body needs to recover and continue the fight. No fake sugar or flavors, no GMOs, less than 1 milligram of sugar and soy per serving, with complete nutrition no other company provides. Arm yourself with the healthiest recovery formula on the market, the body's ammunition. And nutrition. Join the nutritional revolution by going to muscleandnutrition.com. That's muscle, AmNutrition.com.
Recover!
And nutrition.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
This time of year, it seems everyone's sick. You need to do everything you can to avoid it. A healthy immune system starts with a healthy lifestyle. This includes Altrient C. Altrient C delivers the vitamin C your body needs. In fact, Altrient delivers 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. Go to AltrientC.com. That's AltrientC.com. It even comes with a money-back guarantee. For vitamin C that actually gets absorbed, go to AltrientC.com or call 888-437-6353 to order. That's 888-437-6353. Altrient C. 21st century vitamin C.
Everyone wants growth hormone because growth hormone works. Now AgeForce is offering a buy one, get one free on their most popular transdermal patch. The power patch contains 25 milligrams of real somatropin per patch. It delivers real competent human growth hormone right to your bloodstream without the discomfort of injections. There's never been a better time to see what the power patch can do for you. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AgeForce banner ad today. This offer ends soon. Get your growth hormone the AgeForce way. Power Patch.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Make a clap to this. Make a clap to this. Make a clap to this.
We're talking with Brad Schoenfeld, author of The Max Muscle Plan. Blast through training plateaus for your best body ever. And you can get that at workout911.com along with great information in his blog. Okay. Since you commiserated with the notion of the guy wearing the iPod on his upper arm, whether or not he was experiencing some effects of vascular restriction, I'm wondering if you've ever noticed examples of what I like to call occupational hypertrophy. I first thought about this, when I was a young man. I worked at the racetrack when I was in high school growing up in Queens. And I remember the blacksmith, who swung a hammer 1,000 times a day with his right hand had an amazing forearm like Popeye on the right side, but just an average forearm on the left side. I didn't think about it then, but I started thinking about it later on in life when I started to think about hypertrophy. And also, we see this in other arenas of athleticism, in golf, perhaps. So we see muscular imbalances. But it's most pronounced and profound, in my humble opinion, in the general population, when you look at people walking around in shorts, more specifically men, and you look at the size of their right calf, the gastroc, most notably, and the left calf. And you have to assume that not everyone has an anomaly where the right calf is larger than the left calf. It must be a result of pumping the gas pedal and the brake pedal thousands of times a day for years, which made me look at my own body and realize that as a young man in my 20s, I drove sports cars. And my left quad has an amazing flare that my right quad doesn't. Now, this just could be anatomical differences, or it could be the result of me doing a single-legged squat at an into my car day in and day out for years. You think there's any And one other thing, when I watched the life story of Muhammad Ali, his trainer told him to carry his luggage and switch left hand to right hand when he was going for long trips to stress the oblique muscles equally on each side. So with that being said, do you think there's any validity to the effects of the day-to-day things we do on hypertrophy? And if so, should we pay attention to these things?
Well, there's no question that certainly occupational tasks can increase hypertrophy based upon what you're doing. Look, the body responds. Hypertrophy comes about through adaptation. It's the body's way of survive. It's a survival mechanism. The body starts to say, hey, this person's going to need to do this activity again. That's the signaling. Obviously, your brain thinks, but the muscles don't. So we have to do something to facilitate this in the future, so that we can more readily carry it out. And that's why the opposite, when you're a slug, you will atrophy because the body says, hey, we don't need this. Now, look, you have the best example I can give in this case is tennis players who their arm that they use to swing the racket is always the forearm, much better developed than their other arm. If you're asking, does pumping the gas pedal in a car, you'd have to be pretty aggressive. Now, again, we talked about fiber type slow twitch versus fast twitch. You're mostly going to be getting this would be in a slow twitch fiber, those type of activities, and they can hypertrophy. Certainly, slow twitch fibers have potential for hypertrophy. Generally, the thought process is less so than the fast twitch. But doing it over and over, the only way you consistently will grow is through overload, progressive overload, meaning you have to consistently challenge the muscles. If you do the same thing, over and over again and with the same tension, there's really not much beyond that point that the body says, hey, I can accomplish this without having to go past it. The body won't go past it because it's energy intensive. The more muscle you have, the harder the body has to work. So in my long-winded way, I'm saying that could it be that pumping the gas pedal causes your gastroc? Certainly that is plantar flexion. That's a calf, it's an extension of the ankle. And yeah, I think there could be mild effects. The soleus would be, I think, soleus is more slow twitch oriented. Soleus muscle is up to 80% or more slow twitch fibers. So that might, and when that grows, actually it pushes out on the gastroc and increases the girth of the calf. So I think there could be some mild effects there. Whether that has a major effect, if you're driving a sports car and you're an aggressive driver, I guess you could.
So should people pay attention to this in their day-to-day work to compensate by making sure other muscle groups are exercised regularly and thus balanced?
Absolutely, and I say this with women especially who carry a lot of times very heavy pocketbooks. If you've seen some of the pocketbooks,
yeah.
they have everything except the change of clothes, and so maybe sometimes they have changes of clothes. I mean, you can have a 10-pound pocketbook, and women often carry it on the same side that they do, and I always encourage them to keep changing sides because when a woman's carrying this, often they're walking long distances. It's not just from 10 feet from the car to the office. They're carrying this around and shopping and things they're doing. And, I think it is, it's very important if you're going to be doing something. Now, would I say that if you're driving, you should be driving with your left foot too? I think that might be a stretch and might be dangerous. So, but in other, certainly occupational tasks and everyday things, if you're going to be carrying something and you do have the ability to have a choice there, yes, absolutely, they should be evening that out.
What do you want people to take away from the interview as it relates to the book, The Max Muscle Plan, some of the things that we talked about today here?
Sure. Well, first of all, I will say that the book really was a labor of love for me. It was the culmination of really my entire body of work, which includes almost 20 years as a personal trainer, working a lot, mostly with many elite-level physique athletes, as well as your everyday people too, and also the extensive research that I've done, which now spans over a decade on the topic. So it is really a scientifically based book that is written for the consumer. So it is not a textbook, and I kind of break down the science into language that everyone can understand. And it has 6 months of workout routines that takes people through the phases through a periodized program. And I've gotten nothing but terrific feedback on it, and it's certainly very rewarding for me. So please do at least check out. I encourage everyone to check it out. It is available at all the major bookstores on Amazon.com. And also my book, my blog has links to that, and I certainly do put out a lot of content on my blog, which, as you mentioned, was workout911.com. And the book, again, is The Max Muscle Plan.
Listen, we will definitely have you back on the show. I already have a topic that I want to talk to you about from scanning some of your other books, okay?
It would be my pleasure, Carl.
Thanks
I really enjoyed this.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Brad.
Okay.
All right, so stay tuned. What am I saying, stay tuned? That's the end of the show. Excuse me, I'm confused. Thank you for listening. Tomorrow's Friday. I'll be joined by the lovely and talented Elisa Profumo. She's busy working on the show already. We'll have a great casual Friday for you. Talk to you then. Thanks for listening.
Superheroes, this is the Superhuman Channel.